This podcast, I'm going to have a little talk about the Chalcogens, a strip in the periodic table, and perhaps the most surprising thing about them, how they underpin the most disruptive technology, in my opinion, in the 20s, the 2015, 17, 19, that type of stuff, the 20s. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific, moreover have a conversation with you. Sometimes I don't always have the answers, sometimes I talk things up to the state of my understanding, and the rest is left for you to look at, as would be in a normal conversation. That's the idea of these podcasts. So in this case, I'm looking at different strips of the periodic table and the chalcogens and how they really underpin what a glass is. I'm actually interested in getting to a data dump. All I know about metals, all I know about salts, all I know about glasses, all I know about non-metals, all I know about chemistry. As I begin to data dump in those areas, it's convenient to actually get your brain cleared out and talk about all the standard knowledge that you might have. Talking about chalcogens, let's go down. What are they? They're group 16 of the periodic table, or group 6. It depends whether you want to include the transition metals in there as you go down the periodic table. And they start off with oxygen, sulfur. Most people probably wouldn't know that the next element down is selenium, and the next element underneath that is tellurium, and after that is polonium. I've done a little bit on polonium when I was doing an HSC question recently. So it's that strip. Next to them are the halogens, and that next to that is noble gases. And if you go down them, they typically are p-orbital, type to be p-orbital, and have 6 electrons in their outer shell. So oxygen starts off with the second shell, third shell, fourth shell, fifth shell, sixth shell, and seventh shell. There is an element there in the seventh shell. It's a funny one of these funny new elements. I have to read it. It's not tennessinium. I have to really remember about that. So it's a very interesting set of elements, and I'm not going to go too much into them. They are interesting in that they have a strong electronegativity, questionable electronegativity, electron affinity. So they are more stable at close range when there's an electron and the neutral atom. The electron prefers to be actually pushed into the neutral atom. Well, there's 2 of them, so it's a little bit different from fluorines and the halogens. You can actually fit 2 of them in. And so you can form a salt with them, or you can form a covalent compound with them. And this is the chalcogens, chalcogenic. Glasses and stuff like that. So this is really, really important. You'd be very familiar with silicon dioxide. A lot of people look at the silicon, but I tend to look at the oxygen and the way that the oxygen is structured, giving their glass its very various properties and stuff like that. So you can actually replace the oxygen with the sulfur. I suppose you can have silicon sulfide, but you can look at sulfur and carbon. I just got to remember arsenic as you go down there. There's some other things. You can start to make all these complex glasses with the chalcogens. And where do they get used? So I'm not going to be a very long one. I just want to point this out as a sort of a dramatic technology for you. So tellurium, which you can remember, this goes oxygen, sulfur, selenium, tellurium, and then polonium. Tellurium, I wish I could pronounce that properly. Tellurium. That forms a glass which is in your optical writable discs. Now, so it's a glass, but they generally can have small band gaps in them. So it's interesting to talk about the idea of band gaps, but it means that they interact with light differently. So your optical disc is related to the production of tellurium. I don't know what the other group. So it would be it's there in group 16. So it would be group 15 or 14 added to it. But together, that makes it a glassy compound which has a phase transition. So they can phase transition from a glass to a crystal and right up and back again. You can have a writable, read-write optical disc. So that's important to know about, and it's used in optics. And I was just looking at some of the non-linear properties and some of the work that I used to do with optical fibers. Thinking, oh, gee whiz, I should have. It'd be nice to have tried poling with some of these products. So you could have made something really good, some sort of permanent readable memory. I thought about it, and then because they're really good, because you can put them on an electric field and you can get them to swap permanently, pretty good with optics through it. And I looked at it a bit more, and then I remember that I've been quite sick for a few years, so I'm not exactly with it. And I looked in, and I found, oh, they are actually doing something with it. In fact, they've launched a brand new product, Intel, and I've forgotten the name of this. I'll be shot for not remembering the name of the other company. And this is a replacement of flash drives, your SSDs. I'm sure things are going to improve. So there's heaps of different there's computer memory. So you can have high maintenance, high speed computer memories. This is your DRAM, your RAM. I think it's RAM for it. So this is your fundamental. You know, I think I've got 12. I can't believe I've got 12 gigabytes in my little PC. I just blazing speed. I've got some sort of old software, and it just goes so fast. You could almost cry looking at it. And then I had my hard drive, and because I don't use my hard drive too much, I've got an SSD. So an SSD is a flash NAND. So you've got your NAND gate, which is basically storage, silicon chip storage. And this product that they've produced is disruptive. Now, if you in America, I'm sure people know this already, but places out in Australia, especially when you get a bit separated from your friends or your computer community, here you might know it is the Intel, and it's called 3D Crosspoint, which I can say is the best name I have ever heard for a product, because it is a three-dimensional array of point memories which are addressable by a cross of wires. It's just the most amazing 3D cross point. Between the cross point is a composite two-part chalcogenic glass. And how they do it is they lay it down and then they dice it up. So they get the glass, lay it down in layers, and they dice it up. So it forms little points, and this is dramatically improvement on your NAND or flash drive, because your flash drive can't actually address an individual point. What happens is that it can address a block, a little chip block, and it can either read that chip block out, chip block in. It's quite good, but if you want to, to just modify a few numbers there, it's a bit difficult. I don't know whether you really want to do this in big data, but the general thing is that you've got rails, ones going left to right, your calcogenite two-layer thing. So you've got your memory and your addressing block, and your car really would like to know the physics of it. So there's obviously some sort of incredibly small phase change. Of course, I'm really interested in this type of thing in terms of the vanadium oxide. These are the things which show the switchable properties. Yeah, molecules with switchable properties, anything with switchable properties, but this is really fantastic. So this is a tiny bit of glass, and that's between two layers. So we've got the bottom rail, a memory chunk of glass, a dressing part of glass. I really don't quite understand what that is, and then a read-write rail, and you just select the rails, just like you've got a say a address like coordinate system. When you're looking up the old, if you can ever remember the old street directory, you get a memory directory by just moving up. So that's a really fascinating way to do. And of course, this is thousands of times, apparently thousands of times faster than a flash drive, and much greater memory. It's actually put up in three dimensions, so you've got these huge things. And 2018, if you've got enough money, you can buy some of these. And of course, what happens is that we don't necessarily have the software yet to do it. I will definitely have to get a new, I'm sure, the new version. I think I'm just going to cry when I see the new version of National Instruments LabVIEW. I sort of love the LabVIEW software running with this, because the great thing about LabVIEW is that you can sort of launch multiple processes at the same time. It's just sort of naturally, we have to really think in line code to actually get things running at the same time. LabVIEW is just absolutely set up for running parallel processes. So I'm quite excited, like I'm alive to see this type of thing. It's pretty amazing. This is here. And so, means that I'm not going to spend any more money on my new computer, on my computer now. I'll see what happens next. So this is, it's going to really change the world, this cross point, 3D cross point memory. And it's to do with the calcigenic materials. This is in group 16 of the periodic table, that sort of group of oxygen lights. And so often when you can build something with one point of the periodic table, you can do the same thing but with more subtle properties. So whereas glass, and this is one thing I want to do, is a data dump about glass. It's just a fantastic thing to go. I do know about glass physics, and I will give another podcast about all I know about glass, podcast it across there. So this glass is a really interesting thing to look at. This is amorphous, unstructured things, and how currents don't travel through glass, but evidently they do somehow in this cross point memory. Thanks a lot for listening. This is Peter Hill Explains, and just see what you can find out about this new technology, and see if you can actually understand precisely how it works at the atomic level. Thanks for listening.